I want to begin tonight. Before I start my lesson, I want to talk about, just thank everybody here. Thank the opportunities we've had to speak to y'all. I want to thank you for the chances I've had to preach God's Word to you. It's a great, great pleasure to see my family out there tonight here for me, just being supportive. And also a great opportunity to see all the beautiful faces out here at the Benton Church of Christ. I just want to thank the elders here for giving me the chance to be here this summer. I want to thank everyone here for bringing me in as a family, bringing me in as a part of your family, and treating me like you would anybody who, any visitor came through with a loving, godly atmosphere. I just want to thank you for that. I also want to begin, before I start my lesson, to kind of overview what we've done this summer, what the kids have gone through, what they experienced this summer. Starting at Joplin, we went to Joplin the beginning of the summer, a great experience for all the youth here. Just a great experience to see this devastation through a city that came together as one, though. A city that that inspired us, that we went to homes and we saw people who loved God and who kept it together and who brought it together and showed us God's love, God's care, and God's power when he can bring somebody back from that. We went to West Kentucky Youth Camp, and we had 300 or so, sometimes 200 Christians come together to worship God, to sing praises to God, to show their love and show their care for God. We had summer youth series where we'd have 300 or so Christians come together at different congregations to see God's grace, God's power, hear great messages from God's Word, and just to feel the God's love just together as one. We had campouts, lock-ins, devotionals. We went to the Steely House, and when I thought of this, I thought of Luke, because he smiled at me just now. I called it the Steely House for the longest time, and Luke made fun of me for calling it the Steely House. But we went and had a devotional there, Bryce and Logan, and we went to the Steely House and had that devotional. We went to St. Louis, got back last night about 9:30. I'm so tired from that right now. But we went to Six Flags, went to a big play area. It's a city museum. I got stuck in the city museum 3 or 4 times, just trying to wedge through little playhouse areas. We had just the campouts were great, the lock-ins were great, the devotionals were great. A great experience for me to be out here with y'all, a great opportunity to serve in the church here, a beautiful congregation that loves God, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that, and I don't want to leave, but the summer's come to a quick end, school starts back, and thank you for the chance to do that. I also want to thank Travis Terrell this summer. He's been a great guide to me, just guiding me through what youth ministry is, teaching me what youth ministry is. We've read many youth ministry books about just what to expect or what to do in certain situations or what I'm supposed to do as youth minister and what the parents and the families are supposed to do in the church. So tonight I'm going to begin in John 21. So if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to John 21 and we'll begin. John 21, 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and walked wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." I just want you to think about this scripture right here, these few scriptures, about the few words he says. He says, "Feed my lambs." He says, "Tend my sheep." And "feed my sheep." And "follow me." And this summer, that was a great example to me what the summer is about, really. about feeding the sheep. Before Travis left for Africa, he said one thing to me. He said, on Facebook, he said, feed the sheep. And I thought about that, and I said, if I hadn't been here for the summer, before the summer started, if I didn't know that, and he told me, feed my sheep, I would have been like, you have sheep? I know you have five dogs, but not, I didn't know you had sheep. So I would have thought, you know, what I feed them with. But we read a book. It was called They Smell Like Sheep. And it went through the basic principle of how, if a shepherd has a flock, he's supposed to feed his sheep. How God is our shepherd. How we are the sheep of his flock. We are the people of his pasture. We are here, and God is feeding us. And if you look around, everyone in this room is a shepherd to someone. Everyone here is a shepherd to another person. The youth is a shepherd to me, because I can see their example they live by. If they love God with all their hearts, and if they're coming to devotionals, and they're singing praises to God, and they're showing their love for Him, I see that, and I'm the sheep of their shepherd. The elders are here, the shepherd to us. But everyone here is a leader in some way. You can lead singing, or get up here and speak, or just show by example how you would lead, you know, your flock. But tonight, we're talking about youth ministry, because I was a youth intern, and it's kind of a wrap-up of what I think youth ministry is. I'm going to go through three aspects of youth ministry. The first one will be parents and family. The second one will be the church and how it's involved in the youth ministry. And the third will be the youth minister itself. So the first thing I want to discuss about youth ministry is by far the most important thing, I believe. It's the family and the parents. The most important thing to youth ministry is the parents and the family, because the youth ministry begins in the home. It begins with the faith at home. If you have a home with faith, you have a home with a godly love for, if you show your example to your children by loving God, by leading that example every day, by coming to church, but also having that faith in the home, also having devotionals, having prayer time, having time to talk about what you've learned that day, or talk about what God has done for you that day. It's just an amazing example you can have to lead the children in their Christian lives. Let me get some scriptures, a few of them that have about some of the parents in them or family in them. I'm just going to read them off to you, because there's a lot of them, and I don't want you to have to turn your Bibles too much. Joshua 24:15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And when I read this scripture, I thought about one thing. It says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm not a parent yet, but when I become a parent, I'm going to have that somewhere in my house, because I want that. I want to have that statement somewhere, because I'll know that, and I'll be able to read that over and over again. When I'm a parent, I want to be able to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We'll do everything we can to serve God and do His will. The next one is Genesis 18:19. "For I have chosen him, so he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about Abraham what he has promised." Proverbs 22:6. "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they'll not turn from it." Deuteronomy 6:6-9. I had a the scripture reading was Deuteronomy 6:4-9, but 6-9, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, and press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you wake up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I just want you to keep that verse, scripture in mind, because that's going to be the basis of the whole lesson tonight. Just keep that in your mind. Psalm 78:5-8, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose heart were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. That verse is a great example of what a family could do if they have faith in their home. If they have that example of a godly home, they can teach their children, and they'll have that growing up, and they'll keep that in their lives, and they'll have that faith to teach their children and their children and their children. It'll keep going on, and we'll have that Christian love and Christian faith in the homes that we need for youth ministry, for our church, for God. In Ephesians 6:1-4, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is a commandment with a promise, so that you may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction for the Lord. Bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. That's a great thing to have in the family, to bring them up and instruct them in their lives, to lead them through their Christian lives. These scriptures are all about family. And now I want you to think about one question as you're listening to those, as you heard those verses. Think about how important is family and youth ministry. How important is the church here? How important are the families you see around you in youth ministry? They're extremely important. A part of the job that we have as youth ministers, as Travis's job or as my job, is to cast a vision for parents, cast a vision and see, just to let them see what they can do with their families. I know that we have great families here at Benton, but a part of the job is to cast a vision to see what a faith-filled home could be like, what a home with God in it could be like. If families started praying or doing devotions as a family or spending time in service to God at home on a regular basis, then kids will grow up doing these things themselves, and they will teach it to their children. This is the idea of part of who they are. They can become a faith-filled person. They can grow up to be mature in Christ. And a job as a youth minister is to help the children to become mature and fully mature in Christ. The home is a primary place where faith is nurtured. And parents are expected to model a spirit-led lifestyle for their children, and families to make their home a great home. A great home, full, a godly home. Next, I want to share a story with you. I was reading a book with Travis, and this story stuck out to me. It's about a man named Rolf. Rolf had started a ritual of saying a blessing over his daughter every evening. When she was an infant, he would go into her room while she was sleeping and say, "May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May the Lord continue to make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord continue to look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I love you. Amen." As Rolf's daughter grew older, he continued the blessing ritual. Even through her teenage years, he admits that during one period of time when she was a teenager, he would again wait till she was asleep to give her the blessing. But he kept up the ritual. Rolf and his wife dreaded the day that when they would have to drop their daughter off at college. To make it through that day, they came up with a plan to unload her stuff, quickly say their goodbyes in the dorm room, grab each other's hands, and head to the car, not looking back. The plan worked perfectly until they were almost to the car. In the distance behind them, they heard their daughter cry, "Mom, Dad, wait." Rolf and his wife stopped in their tracks and turned around to see their daughter come running after them. With tears in her eyes, she said, "You forgot to bless me." Right there in the parking lot, they huddled together and said, "May the Lord continue to keep you, bless you. May the Lord continue to make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord continue to look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I love you. Amen." And the reason I shared this story with you is just to show you that example you can set in your home can, if you set the example early, if you set that example in your home early of being a Christian in every aspect of your life, it's gonna wear off on the child. It's gonna go and it's gonna lead in their lives, and they're gonna keep it their whole life. They're gonna keep that Christian basic principle. The Lord blesses us, and to have a successful youth ministry, the Lord has to be top priority in our home. And the next thing I wanted to point out was that I read something also in the book. It was Stanley Youth Ministry, a book that I was reading, and it said faith is not taught. Children can't come to Bible school. They can't come to Bible class. They can't hear an amazing sermon and be taught faith. It doesn't happen. No one's going to teach them faith. Faith is caught. It said it's like a cold. It said they catch faith like a cold. So if it's in your home, they're going to catch the faith. They're going to catch that faith that you have. By the example you have of that faith, they're going to catch that. It's going to be in their lives. Right after Moses called together the Israelites to deliver the Ten Commandments, he described how the people were to live as followers of God. These ways would allow them to prosper as families and as community believers. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to read 4 through 7. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your homes, of your houses and gates. And get down to 24, it says, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. But I want you to notice four things in there. It says teach your children when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. When you lie down, you're at home. When you get up, you're at home. All those things are at home. That's the most important part of that scripture. They're all at home. In youth ministry, the main point that I want to come across is that youth ministry begins at home. That's what I believe youth ministry is. It begins with the parents. It begins in the home. And the whole summer I've been learning that. It begins with the parents. Because if it's not the parents, then children aren't going to learn that. And another thing is that you can't go into the world and preach the gospel. You can't go into the world and teach people things if you don't know it yourself. If your home doesn't have it, then how are you going to preach to the world? How are you going to go out into the world and preach that if you don't have it in your home? There's no way. So the most important thing is the home. Now, some facts that I found in these books were 9 out of 10 times the mom and dad will be the answer to a survey of who's the hero of their life. Mom and dad are 2 to 3 times more influential than any church program. The job of youth ministers should be to try to help equip the parents in the search to make their home a primary place of faith. And in Deuteronomy, Moses is telling us how the youth should be taught about Christ in the home first and foremost. So after you've heard all that, a question that ask yourself again is, how important is family in youth ministry? How important are the families here in the church? And how important is it to support them and support the youth ministry as that church family? Peter Benson stated, in building faith at home, that religious life in the home is more influential than any church. That's a great thing to think about. Turn to Joshua 24:15. I read that already, but we're going to go through that a little bit. Joshua 24:15. It says, But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I already pointed out that is the most important thing. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a great thing to think about. And I pointed out Matthew 28, it says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You can't do that if it's not in the home. I already said that, but I need to say that again. And we're always striving to have godly homes. The next aspect of youth ministry we're going to talk about is the church as a whole. And I have another story to share with you. Dina and her husband were parents of 2 beautiful children, one age 9 and the other just a few months old. Dina was in church one night. And she had been moved by a message regarding the role of parents that they play in the faith of children. And Dina had made a personal commitment to bring Christ into the center of her life and the life of her family. She set up a time with the minister to talk about baptism. But just a week before, Dina called to tell the minister that her baby had died. The loss was very devastating, and they prayed. They prayed more, and the minister continued to pray for Dina. And he knew how difficult this would be for her. 2 months later, Dina went to class, and the discussion was again about baptism. Dina later shared her personal story with the members of the small group. She tearfully yet calmly shared about the loss of her baby and how painful it had been. But she went on to tell how much more important God had become to her as a result. Dina said the church had carried her through the difficult days. She was overwhelmed by the love of the church. The next Sunday, Dean was baptized. There wasn't a dry eye in the church, and 2 years later, God blessed Dean and her husband with another child. No one can tell you what might have happened to Dina and her family if she had not had Christ in her life, if she hadn't accepted Christ in her life. She would for sure wouldn't have had the happiness and joy she has now if she didn't have God. And there was a key sentence in that story that I want to point out. Dina said the church carried her through. And that's how it should be. The church should carry you through the tough times. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about the body of Christ. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed.' No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Turn on over to verse 12. It says, "For just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." But the main point that I want to get across is the church is one body. We've heard that over and over and over again. We've heard that the church is a body and we should stick together and be united. But that's, in youth ministry, that's what you need. You need to be united. You need to be one body. And you do a great job here at Benton, but strive to do it more and more each day. There are people who can do certain things that others can't. You can lead by example or lead by worship, but we all have a part in the church. We're all different, but we all make one body. And the point of that is just to think about if the ministries we have here, we have youth ministries and children's ministries and the elders, and we have this to all the members. If we came together as one body all the time, how great and amazing that would be for God. To have church members supporting the families, and have the family supporting the youth group, and have the youth group supporting everyone in the church, and just one huge ministry, which would be great for everyone, which would be great for God, which would help the families in their homes. In verse 5 it says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And in 6 it says the same God at work. There are different kinds of service, different kinds of work, but the same Lord, the same God. We're all striving towards the same work, the same accomplishment, the same goal. In verse 12 it says, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is with Christ." In 27 it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." So we are the body of Christ, and our job is to come together and to support each other through everything we do, through the youth group and through the ministers we have here. And the final aspect of youth ministry I'm going to share with you is the youth minister and the job that I think that the youth minister should do. There are many parts to youth ministry, and I listed some: faith, loving, renewing, caring, and guiding. There's a fun part to it, learning and teaching. There's tough times, there's bonds you create, there's friendships you create, and you mature. And all those things I've done this summer, and I just wanted to point those out. And maturing in Christ is what our goal is as youth minister, to help the children mature in Christ, to help them become the Christian they need to be, and to have that basic principle of having faith in their homes. No youth minister is perfect. Just as no person is perfect, but youth ministry should be to strive every day to teach children and youth about God's will. Ephesians 4, 12-13 says, "To equip saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God." And that is the perfect explanation of what a youth minister's job is. to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to equip the church, to help with the church, to guide the youth group, to guide everyone in the church, to be one body, and to all go for the same goal. And the youth minister has the opportunity to transition the children into the heart and soul of the church, too. And the main point at the end of the sermon that I want to come across is that we're all leaders in some way. We all have a leadership role in the church. We all have something we need to do to help everyone else get to heaven. Because we're not doing it by ourselves. We're not just striving for heaven by ourselves. But we all strive to do better. We all strive to help each other. And in youth ministry, there's also an important thing to remember is that we all fall short. That's in our Christian lives. We all fall short. I had a Romans 3:10. It says, "There is none righteous, not even one." And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's one thing to remember in our Christian lives. And in the youth group and any ministry you have, we're all going to fall short. We're all going to make mistakes. And we're all going to just be on the lowest point in our lives. But the important thing is to be one body, to be one church, to be just a loving congregation together and to guide each other through. Galatians 2:20 says, as Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And just think about that. A life he gave for us. He died on the cross for us. Because the sins we have, the sins we commit each day. We're sinful. We fall short. The Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. He gave himself for everyone in this church. And the job, the youth ministry is not just the youth ministry. The youth ministry is a church. It's everyone here. It's everyone working together. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, then who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can challenge us if God's for us? If we have God on our side, if we keep our Christian homes, if we have faith in our home, if we have the love of God in our home, if we have the Christian principles we need to, then who can be against us? No one. If we're together as one, then no one can challenge that. That's a love that God wants. That's a unity that God wants. I know I'm in kind of short today, but I'm going to close with Romans 8:31. Who can be against us? Many of you understand God's will, but you haven't decided to take Christ on baptism yet. In Acts 22:16 it says, "And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name." Some of you already take on that goal to take on Christ in baptism. Some of you have done that, but you're falling short. Like we all do. And when you fall short, you come to your Christian family. You come forward and you ask for forgiveness from God, and you accept the love that we have here at Bent Church Christ, in every church of Christ, every Christian, the love that you should have for God as a Christian. If you have any need at all, come forward as we stand and sing.